I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Oh, Kennedy, are you there?
I am.
Annie?
Hi.
Dan?
Yes.
All right, welcome to the Unfiltered After Show for topics we discuss. And again, if you would leave us a review when you're done, we would appreciate that very much. Or just share it with somebody that you know or love. As always, Kennedy, you're up first.
So there's a lot of discussion about, I mean, especially after, you know, Donald Trump became president as basically a reality star.
Yep.
You know, these other celebrities like Matthew McConaughey, seriously, maybe considering running for office in Texas. There's a lot of talk about The Rock, or, you know, no one's really been like, I want to do this, but people have said whatever. So my question is, could you ever run for office?
You know, I've really thought about it. Because when I was growing up, my dad always said, you're going to be first woman president. I mean, he told me I was going to be like an astronaut and the shortstop for the Red Sox.
I love
so.
That's where you get your hype man skills from.
That's amazing, though. You're
a
lucky
Space
person.
Force, you're almost there.
Pew, pew, lasers. I would love to, just so I could try to make a difference. Mm-hmm. I really would. I don't think I could handle the pressure of people not being happy with me.
Yeah.
I don't necessarily care if people talk shit about me, but if I did something that hurt a certain group of people or something, if I couldn't do enough, I would lose it.
Yeah. It's like no matter what you do, you're going to piss 50% of your people off.
Sure.
Well, it's in, for me, it's more so like, say specifically with the LGBTQ community, if I couldn't do enough to specifically help them, I would take personal responsibility. Mm-hmm. Not because it has to go through six rounds of, you know, different levels of law and all of this stuff.
I think the red tape would drive somebody like you absolutely crazy.
Yeah. I couldn't do it.
Like, I've thought about this. I mean, I kind of do it on a really small level with the Charlestown Neighborhood Council, and I had to run and campaign and go put out flyers and get people to sign, you know, to get me on the ballot or whatever. So, I mean, I think about it a little bit, and the thought of it, in a perfect world, I would love to. I think it would be a lot of fun to be able to make an effect in your community like that, right? But the reality of doing it, I don't know if I could really give up the career that I have to do that.
Well, don't think of it that way. Mm-hmm. Like, you wouldn't be giving anything up. Let's just say you had a different life, and you could, you had the ability and means and whatever.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think in that context, yeah, I could do it. I would like that. Mm-hmm. I don't think I want to be on a national level. I'd want to be like on a local level.
Yeah,
you know,
you can
like
get
a mayor,
more done.
You know,
I know,
what I mean?
But I think if even the mayor of Quincy gets so much shit,
It's hard.
It is.
It's really hard.
I mean, you have, I don't know how many people live in Quincy now, like 90,000 people.
I think over 100,000.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's a big
pretty
place.
Good size. City.
Dealing with all of that.
Right.
It's a lot.
But on the flip side, you know, I bump into people all the time, and you don't realize the effect that you can have. And, you know,
Absolutely.
People will stop you on the street and say, hey, you know, I was on that Zoom and I saw that thing you guys were doing with the neighborhood council, and I appreciate your opinion. I don't agree with you, but I appreciate that you actually care.
Right.
You know?
If only everyone was that civil. Just like, I
know.
No, they're not always.
I
get emails all the time. Because it's mostly about development stuff, because it all comes before the neighborhood council.
Right.
And I get emails from random people all the time, like swearing us up and down.
Because your stuff is public, like how to reach you is public?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, my information is
Oh, my God,
is
can
out.
We do Carson Reed's mean emails?
Is that what you... Well,
yes.
I mean, you could take out the parts that are whatever.
Very specific and stuff.
It's just an idea.
Yeah, it's not personal stuff. It's just stuff in general about the neighborhood.
Right.
Oh, okay, I got you.
You know what I'm saying?
I see. They're not directed at you. Why did you do this?
No, it's okay. More about what I can't believe, you know, the neighborhood council would even entertain this idea because the people that are trying to do that are despicable.
Right.
Or they don't have the best intentions.
I got you.
You know, it's in our neighborhood, it's all about development.
Sure.
And everybody has an opinion about.
Of course they do.
You know, kind of the.
Nobody likes change.
The gentrification of any neighborhood.
Of course, 100%.
Right? But also, you got to have schools and hospitals and all that stuff, and that's how you get the money for the taxes.
Yeah.
Right. So
the answer for me is a hard no.
Hard no.
I just feel like way too many things that people be like, but she did that. Can you trust her that way? And I just, there's no way I could have people yell at me like that.
Right.
Nope.
I think this is probably being egotistical, but I think I could do it.
I do too.
I think I would do an excellent job at it.
I do. It would be awesome.
But A, I would never be able to, the background checks would kill me. I'm not even joking. They would,
Well, that would just have to be a part of your story. You just have to be upfront and honest and say, listen, when I was younger, I was a mess and I did a lot of stupid things and I'm embarrassed and I've apologized and I've served my time, literally. And
I think we're coming to a generation of people that.
Yeah.
100%. It's not so much that I didn't inhale generation.
If they
anymore.
Haven't, no, I'm suspect. You know what I mean? Well, anyway, thank you.
I think the minutia of it all would be hard for me. Like the sitting in the meetings all day.
Yeah, I just want to be out in the community and like doing shit.
And you have to be able to sit in a room with people of, of
that
all
are
different.
So different.
Yeah, you know, we have a woman on the neighborhood council who opens every time she speaks, there's a prayer involved. So she's.
How's that okay?
Because that's who she is as a person, and that's what she feels is important to her.
Yeah, but that's a place that it doesn't belong. Can't you say we're not going to do that here?
Freedom of religion kind of thing, probably?
Not with state? No?
Isn't it supposed to be separate?
It is separate, but if somebody, you know, starts a meeting and she says, and I, you know, and she talks about her faith for a second and then gives her opinion on it, you know, there's all sorts of people.
I'm not sure what that has to do with development, but okay.
Yeah, I don't, you know.
Yeah, but that's a lot of your constituency.
But that's forcing your opinion on somebody, and I don't get that. Like,
yeah, that's
anyways,
a part of it. So.
What do I know? Yep. All right, thank you.
That was interesting.
All right, I'm going to get into some really nerdy radio stuff. They just released this study about the 6 types of radio listeners.
I saw that and did immediately think of you.
Yes. So I want to know which of these you think you are. I know which one I am.
Okay.
So NPR and Edison Research conducted a study on radio audiences and identified 6 different types of listeners. They found that 156 million people listen to regular radio every day, which is like almost 2/3 of adults 18 and older.
We love to hear it.
Right. So, like, you know, they always talk about, what about podcasting? What about this? What about
radio's
that?
Radio's dying down.
No, people tell that to me all the time. Like, what are you going to do in 20 years when radio's dead?
Yeah.
And I was like, well, I'm going to hope it's not because I don't have a backup plan.
That's true, too.
And it won't be.
So here is how it breaks down across 6 different types of radio listeners. Habitualists, all right? 13% of listeners are habitualists. They listen to the radio when it's the only option available. Is that any of you?
Can you say that again?
You listen to the radio when it's the only option available. Otherwise, you're doing something else, whether it's not listening or listening to your music on a streaming service or whatever.
I'd say that's probably me.
Is it?
Yeah, that might be me too.
They listen to radio when it's the only option available. Laid-back listeners, which is 17% of listeners, they listen to the radio, but it's only in the background. So if you're listening, you're not really engaged in listening. It's just back there. No? Okay. Rhythm rockers, this is 27% of listeners. They listen to the radio for music.
That's me.
Rhythm rockers?
I would say.
Yeah. Infomaniacs, 18% of listeners listen for news and information.
Damn you, NPR.
Connection seekers, which is 16% of listeners, they listen for company and connection.
That's nice.
I like that one.
I think I'm both. A rhythm rocker and whatever that one.
You like the people you listen to and you feel a connection to them. 100%.
I think that's a lot of our listeners, hopefully.
100%. Right. And this last one is me, which is Radiohead. It's only about 9% of the listeners, and they listen for all audio needs and listen to the radio the most. So
nerd.
I listen for the connection. I listen for the information. I listen for the music. And when I listen, I'm engaged. Just, you know, it's never just in the background.
Do you feel like you're more engaged since being in radio, though?
No, I was like this as a kid. I've said this before. I had a spiral notebook. And I would listen to like the weekly countdown with Casey Kasem. And I would write down every week what songs, where they were on the charts.
Right.
Yeah, it was just a big part of my life because I moved around a lot. And so I found that was the commonality.
To sure.
No matter what city I lived in, I could turn on the radio and hear a song that I was familiar with. And even a lot of the syndicated personalities, you know, some of the talk shows that were syndicated on AM radio, I could be in Connecticut and hear like Don Imus or Howard Stern and be in Florida and hear those same people. So I felt like even though I might have not been somewhere that I considered home, you know, it was that connection.
It's like in Mean Girls when she says math is the same in every language.
Yeah, yeah.
Radio is the same.
Yeah, it was like that for me. So I just thought that was interesting.
That's cool.
What else does it say? It says 40% of all time spent listening to audio by U.S. adults is on AM/FM radio. 33% of AM/FM radio listeners say the platform is becoming a more important part of their lives, even with the growth in online audio and other options. See, this is something that I think people miss. There's been such a there's been a strange happening in radio since the mid-90s, and that is the reduction of the number of companies that own radio stations.
Yeah.
So it used to be there'd be 25 radio stations in a city, and there would be 25 different owners, or 10 or 15 different owners.
Sure.
Well, now, like in Boston, honestly, there's two or three.
It's conglomerates, big companies.
It is big companies, right, because the rules have changed. And so what that did is that they, in order to be able to succeed financially, they got rid of a lot of people. So you have, you know, a lot less on-air personalities working in a city because they pipe them in from other cities or whatever. Mm-hmm. But now what's happened is because they've gotten rid of a lot of the personality, stations that still have the personality, like Mix, becomes even more important because people love that connection.
100%.
You can get music anywhere now. Mm-hmm. I mean, think about how quickly you can get a song.
Yep.
When we were kids, you couldn't do that.
Right.
You had to get a cassette player.
And wait by the radio until your song came on and hope they didn't talk over it.
It was just so expensive to buy music, to get. But now everybody has a streaming service, whether it's Amazon or whatever. So when you have all of that at your fingertips, then what's left? And it's the connection.
Right.
With the personalities.
I feel like it's funny though because I mean I have a million playlists. I make them all the time, but there's something to be said for radio because it like tells me what I didn't think I wanted to be listening to. Do you know what I mean?
Right.
Like I know the songs.
It gets boring listening to a playlist.
Yeah, well I mean
to me after a while.
I agree with you. I mean I like turning on the radio and just being like, "Oh my god, I forgot about that song." Right. Or you know, it's nice to not know what's coming next, what the playlist you know.
Right.
Usually, typically.
I like listening to Dan on the weekends. I think he's funny. It's been a while since you've been on the weekends.
Dan doesn't do weekends anymore.
No, I know it's been a while, but I used to like listening to him.
Thank you. I thought I was pretty good on the weekends. They shifted me.
He's got other responsibilities now.
Which I preferred. I would rather do on-air stuff than behind-the-scenes stuff, if possible. Yeah. But when Sal tells you you're moving, you're moving.
Yeah, I'm not a fan of the playlist as a... You know, I generally don't just listen to playlists.
Depends on what I'm doing. If I'm working out, it's a playlist.
But like, I want to hear somebody give me some, you know, what's going on.
Yeah.
In that world.
Yeah.
That's how you sound about
like
a celebrity.
Like if you go on vacation, you know, like whenever I would go to Charleston, I would turn on the radio because you would know like what bar is doing fun stuffs that night.
Right.
Or I love whatever. Every time I go back to Florida and listening to those stations.
Yeah.
And stuff, I'm like, oh my god, I forgot about these people.
I've been down on the Cape a lot, and there's a couple of stations down there I've been listening to, and like Mix gets down there for the most part.
Ish.
But I listen to some other stations down there because they're talking about, oh, there's this thing happening
of course.
At this bar, or there's this big event. You know what I mean?
And 100%.
That's
so cool.
You know. All right. That's my radio nerd talk. What you got, Annie?
So I shared this meme on my Instagram story yesterday. It said, my toxic trait is when the weather gets nice, I want to quit my job. And I was just thinking of funny toxic traits. Like they don't have, you know, it doesn't have to be something like really serious. But like another one of mine is I always demand to get my own popcorn at the movies. Mm. And I always only eat half when I should just be splitting a popcorn because they're like $15. But I want my own. Do you know what I'm saying?
That's and you don't finish it? That.
No, I've never finished
it. Oh, mine's gone before the trailers are
over. I've never finished it, but it's something that I just can't give up on. So I want to know like your funny toxic traits.
There never, ever, ever, ever should be a time where we run out of sour cream in that house. That's all I'm saying. Do not run out of sour cream. There
sour
are a few things in this life that I demand. But if we run out of sour cream, we're going to fight. I'm just, and I ask my wife.
I never knew you were a sour cream guy.
Well, you know, we do nachos every once in a while. We do Mexican food, baked potatoes.
Goes with everything.
It goes with so many things. We got to have sour cream in the house. Atlanta knows if there is not sour cream when we go to have one of those meals, it's on.
I can't even.
I'm ready to fight.
I can't imagine having a temper tantrum over sour cream.
I'm just saying.
But that's a pretty good one.
I feel like because I'm alone so much that when I am with other people, it, like I want what I want.
Yeah.
Period.
Right.
And I am at a place in my life that I can go get it if I want it.
Right.
So it's difficult for me sometimes to be like, okay, let's do it your way. Right. You know what I mean?
100%.
Like, Yeah, so I say that's me.
Yeah.
I will send you 17 one-line texts instead of just one full text.
I do the same thing. Always.
All my texts are one line instead of like, I don't like sending a wall of shit. So I'll give you like ding, ding, and it's just one thought continuously on different
lines. This could have been one text.
That's a good toxic trait. That's what it should be. Or like if you get one chip in your nail and you peel them all off because I can't have just one chipped nail. See, it's so...
I broke a nail.
You can go back and fix that, though.
I know, but like I, you know, I only go there every other Saturday. Now I go back?
I know. I know.
I don't know if this falls into this category or not, but I just heard this one last night from my wife, and it was my son calling me out, not to my face, but he went to her and said...
Better.
Shit.
Yeah, you should have a conversation with him. He feels that I don't walk the dog as much as... Mom and Barrett.
Wow.
I'm sorry. Can Barrett please call a family meeting and you guys discuss this? I would love to hear Barrett's. Barrett leading the discussion.
That.
I would love to hear this.
This is important.
Okay. This is important stuff.
All right. I will do that. Yes.
It's awesome. Usually that it's the other way around.
Are you not pulling your weight?
You're not.
It's not a dog.
Do we need a chore chart?
Yeah.
They were very clear in the beginning. I'm not normally Team Carson, but they were very clear in the beginning that it was Barrett and Lana's dog.
That's true.
I couldn't have a kid because I'd just be like, mortgage, scoreboard. What do you do?
I know. Meanwhile, I've driven back and forth to the Cape 17 times in the past 3 weeks, right? While he's sitting at the house playing on the Fortnite video game.
Oh, I like this fight.
I know, it's a good one. I just want to hear Barrett call the family meeting.
Right,
and Barrett lead the family
meeting.
Hello,
Dad.
We have something to discuss.
All right. Pretty Stan, what you got?
So this is something so silly, but it's true.
Yeah.
And it's funny how social media can like make you think weird things. So we met our big boss, the new guy, Tim, last week. We had a sit down. He was super awesome.
Isn't he great?
Yeah, he's a wonderful guy. I think the company is going to go pretty well under his leadership.
Yes.
So afterwards, I was creeping on his Instagram just to kind of check him out. And I noticed I'm the only person on the morning show he's not following.
Wow.
And then I was like, I don't like that.
Well, maybe just because your last name isn't on it.
Yeah, and
so
you're
not very searchable. So did you follow him?
No.
Okay, well, Dan, you got to give to get.
It's true.
Mm-hmm.
But it was just it's such a stupid little thing. But I was like,
You want to hear something that's even worse?
What?
So I have known about him for a long time because of his career. He's been very successful at a bunch of radio stations that I love, working with other morning shows that I know and respect.
Sure.
And so when you see a radio station that is successful with a really good show, I pay attention to them and I've gotten to know them. And I had met him previously years ago. I had already followed him on Instagram. For a very long time.
Right.
And he never followed me. And then about 2 weeks ago, he followed me. I'm like, oh, now.
Now it's professional
courtesy. Yeah, but he didn't
courtesy.
Know you.
I know.
Yeah, not everybody follows people
That's
just
because
they get followed. I
That's
don't.
Different. Because right. he didn't know you. Of course he's going to follow you now.
But it was
kind of
weird when he followed me one day. I was like,
Well, it's not weird.
Right.
You work for him now.
Right.
Yes, but I've been following him for years, I think.
Yeah, I get that.
Yeah,
but not
that's because you admire
you
him.
Right,
you know?
Right, yeah.
Not saying he didn't admire you, but he wasn't up to date on Carson with a K.
Yeah.
You know?
Thanks, Annie.
He probably had a lot going on at
He's
the
like,
time.
He's like, I really don't need one more wacky radio guy in my feed. I'll be good.
Right. What have you noticed about our boss's Instagram that stands out? Anything?
He posts a lot of cool pictures.
Yeah, he
His
travels a lot.
Awesome.
Yeah, he's in Nashville a fair amount.
Yeah, I noticed that. Yeah, he travels
Well, I think
a lot.
That'll all stop.
Yeah.
He was doing that for work.
Was he?
Yeah.
His girlfriend lives there.
Oh, is that where she
lives? Yeah, he lives in Atlanta. Uh-huh. He was living in Atlanta prior to coming here.
Yeah.
His girlfriend has a business there, so they were going back and forth. He responds to my stories like pretty much every time I post, and I'm like, hey.
It's pretty wild because our old boss was the opposite.
I never even had a sit down with our old boss.
Right. Well, I'm just saying.
He also had more responsibility.
Yeah, I was like, I've never been in this room before.
Right.
Oh, I thought it was really cool that he met with you guys.
Yeah, he's nice.
I thought it was really an amazing thing. Really?
And he was just...
And without us. And I thought that was even cooler.
I think it's so awesome when people in positions of power say, what can I do for you?
Mm-hmm.
Like, that's all he kept reiterating.
That's a great boss.
I love when people do that.
Yep.
What can I do? What can I do to help you succeed? Mm-hmm. Anything, you know?
It's cool having a good boss.
I'm excited.
I mean, it's early on.
Yeah.
I'm excited to see.
We could grow to hate him.
We haven't seen the skeletons yet.
I mean, why did he leave his last company? I'm just saying. If it's so good, why'd they let him leave?
No, we have such good bosses here.
I know.
It really is such a game changer.
Yeah. Because we've had shit bosses before. This is such a joy.
I mean, I walked in here. I was like, wow, everybody's so great. Everybody has my back. This is awesome.
I've noticed, too, like his fashion sense. I'm like, I wish I didn't have kids or a family or responsibilities so I could dress that cool.
You could.
Yeah, no, I know.
You might look like a weird old 52-year-old guy. But.
It might look a little weird.
All I've ever seen him in is jeans, except when he had the one meeting. Like, he's jeans and a flannel is what we saw him in the other day.
He's got really cool shoes and like
he's just cool
the
shoes.
Louis Vuitton backpack and the Hermes belt. And, you know, just like really.
You could do it.
No, I know.
Do you want a makeover? I will give you a makeover.
No.
We can buy you some dupes. It's not a problem. 100%.
What's a dupe?
A fake.
Really? Have you never been to New York City?
Oh, no, I know what you mean. I thought that was like a brand or something.
No, just like a fake.
I'm in a Facebook group that all they do is tell you about dupes.
And
yes, Lulu dupes.
And some of them are expensive.
What
I'm telling you is there are knockoffs that are really good knockoffs that are hundreds of dollars.
Well, then why would you buy them? Because there's really good knockoffs that are $100.
I understand, but I'm just telling you the better knockoffs cost more money. Of a bag that's like $10,000,
I will disagree with you.
But yes. Well, I've seen them. And you can spend $250 on a knockoff
of a
bag that's
$250 on a $10,000 bag or whatever.
Yeah, that's
expensive
though, right? For a fake?
No. Not if you were planning on paying $1,500 for a bag.
So nice to me.
Yeah. If you were already that way, $250 is not that much.
Dan, next time you're in New York, you and your girlfriend go to Chinatown. It is wild.
I can't take my girlfriend anywhere. She walked through Times Square once and bought like three $10 CDs.
That's my girlie.
You just walk this road and these people try and call you into these back alleys. And they take you into this room and they open up a bag or a closet.
That's wild.
And it's, you know... It's unbelievable. You name it. You can buy fake Rolexes.
They did that in Florence, too. Did you notice that? There was like a little strip in Florence
that
had a bunch of bags and shoes
and
stuff.
Yeah.
Not even close, but...
Right. Yeah, there's a huge industry in New York City of...
Well, it's a huge industry everywhere because not everybody can afford that
shit. Yeah, shit's expensive.
Right. And once you buy it, you're like, why?
I know.
I mean, you know, I spent a lot of money on a couple of bags and they will last me... For the rest of my life.
Right.
And they are classic and will never go out of style. But there are times I look at them and go, I haven't touched you in a year,
I know.
Bitch.
If I spend $1,500 on a bag, I'm bringing that shit to Market Basket. Like, everywhere I go, I'm like,
Whenever someone gets a new
you want to borrow my Louis?
Yeah.
I'll put this bunch of bananas in it.
Brings it to the beach. I'm like, what about Louis at the beach?
That's wrong.
We're on Wally Beach, baby. What
are you doing?
Because she paid for it.
Yep. So anyway, sorry I stalked your Instagram.
Well, why don't you follow him and see what happens?
Yes, I think that's a better move.
Oh, really? He's going to call you first? Is that the kind of girl you are?
Classy broad, Kennedy.
Dan, we live in the day where we go first. Yeah. You hear me?
Right. Sadie Hawkins.
Does Sal even have your phone number yet?
Yes, Sal does have my phone number.
That took a long time.
He asked for it, and I was like, yes, sir.
Sure.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with three lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.